Church, last few weeks we've been talking a lot about how do we love Jesus in the midst of our activities? How do we remind ourselves that we're not just supposed to be busy for the sake of it, but we are people that love Jesus. Amen. Can I get an amen if you love Jesus? Come on. We are people that love Jesus. And yes, we want to be busy, and yes, we want to have activities, but if it does not flow from love, then we're just busy monkeys. You know what I'm trying to say? We're just busy people for the sake of it. But we are people that are in a relationship with Jesus. Wow. We're in a relationship with God Himself. We're in a relationship with the King of Kings. In a lot of ways, that's hard to comprehend. In a lot of ways, that's hard to take in. But I want to tell you that that's His design, and it's by design. And even better than that, I was going to say whether you like it or not, but I'll not add that part. We're in a family together. Amen. Come on. We are in a family together. This is one big family in the Lord. And so we got to love each other and encourage each other and be there for each other. And it's why when you hear about things going on in the family of God, you pray. It's why when you hear people succeeding, you pray. You give glory to God. It's not about jealousy. It's not about competition. It's about unity. Because when we have unity, we remind ourselves that we are one body in Christ. And when He is at the center and He is at the head of a united church and a united body, my goodness, what the Lord can do is extraordinary. Extraordinary. So keep short accounts with God. Deal with the issues. Deal with the heartaches and the pains. Because the enemy loves to grow trees there that are not meant to be there. And so last week we had a great time where the presence of God was rich. Many people encountered the presence of God. I think for some, it was the first time you've encountered God. Maybe you have three people from last week or three positions. You either weren't here at all, which, what were you doing? Come on, we miss you. Maybe you were here and you had a wonderful time with the Lord. Or maybe you were here and you thought, I didn't seem to get what everybody else got. Well, can I tell you this, and what we're going to concentrate on today, is that Pentecost was not supposed to be a destination. It was supposed to be a doorway. So let me remind you of what we're talking about. Acts chapter 2, it talks about they were meeting in the upper room. So it's this upper room space that they met together in one place. And then it says the Holy Spirit was poured out. Now, I guess some people like to revisit certain moments and they go to the certain places. You know, I went back to look at that porta cabin because it reminded me of something. But we are men and women of God, and we don't go to places to find something in the place. No, we remind ourselves that what we find there, we carry with us. Because the Bible tells me that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. So when you come to Christ, the Lord fills you. And now everywhere you go, you bring the presence of God. Wow. So can we read Acts chapter 1? Oh, we jumped to there. But let's go to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Here's what it says. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Now, we read this last week. But this last part is what I want to concentrate on. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth, that means you could find one of us, I don't know, we used to say Timbuktu, but we've probably been there many times now. So like, you could be in Asia, you could be in Katy, you could be in South America, you could be South Africa. Because the Lord is saying, I want to bring you to the ends of the earth. And that's the dream He has for each one of us, to bring us to the ends of the earth and everywhere else in between, because we have a world to reach. And He says you won't do it in your own strength, but you'll do it with my power. And that's what we're thinking about, church. Last week, maybe you had an encounter with God. Maybe you weren't even here. But it's not about last week anymore. It's about today. Amen? It's about today. And when we get to tomorrow, it'll be about tomorrow. And what God wants to do today and tomorrow is something fresh and something new. He wants to give you more. You're like, well, I don't want to be greedy. No, you can't be greedy when it comes to the presence of God, because guess what He does? The more you get, the more He causes you to move. The more He fills you, the more you want to pour out. The more He gives you, the more you want to give away. You see, the problem with our world is we're not sure what to give away because we maybe had to work hard to get what we had in the first place. And we're like, well, if I have to get that all over again, I'm a bit worried. We'll have the health, the strength, the time, whatever. But in the kingdom of God, there's a never-ending flow that He's pouring into the believer's life. He's just saying, do you want more? And I want to encourage this church, we have to teach ourselves that we can have more, that we have a far greater capacity than you can imagine. Now, how we live it out is sometimes where we get stretched. We said last time, you can be stretched or spirit-filled, but in all of us, and in every part of our lives, there are come days where you're going to be tested and you're going to be stretched. And who's going to help us? The Lord's going to help us. And then we go to another challenge and another challenge. And what we find when we look back is, wow, those challenges transformed me. Those challenges, although I didn't fancy them, although I maybe didn't want them, they transformed my life. So here's what I'm trying to say. It might seem scary to go to the ends of the earth. In fact, it should feel. It might seem a bit scary to go to a coworker and tell them about Jesus. It is. It might seem scary to go there, here, there, or wherever the Lord might call you to. But with the power of God, you are better than you know. With the power of God. And what we're going to discover today is men and women's lives were transformed every step of the way because of the goodness of God. And so I guess here's the heart. We finished off with Acts chapter 4:31 last week. I didn't put it on the screen this time, but if you remember, it said they prayed. The place where they were praying shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. And then they spoke the word of God boldly. It was like they become preachers. They became evangelists. They overnight, in a moment, in an instant, their lives got transformed. People didn't recognize them anymore. Imagine that for your life. You know, in a good way, where you would go, you know, there's once a year family meetups called Christmas. You're like, is it good or bad? I don't know. But you go, and wouldn't it be amazing if they say, I don't even recognize you anymore. In a good sense, you're different. You're transformed. And we give glory to God. We say, God has just done something in me this year. I can't even put into words. Praise God. I'm telling you, church, people are hungry for what God has. Sometimes it comes out as jealousy. Sometimes it comes out as envy. But really, they want what you have. Here's the good news in the kingdom. Everything I have, you can have it. Amen. Everything you have in Christ, I can have it too. He is a good God, and he abundantly blesses. And so you say to yourself, okay, last week, or maybe you've had an encounter with God in the past. What's the point of it? What's the point? Is it just to help me to read better? Is it just to help me to, I don't know, pray better? Is it just so I can have a few goosebumps in worship? Can I say this, church? If that's all it's being used for, I think you could get a lot of that without needing the Holy Spirit. I think you could probably do a lot of that in your own strength. I think personal discipline would get you a long way there. And I'm not against personal discipline. But there is something about when the power of God touches someone's life. You go from Moses the runaway to Moses that leads millions free. You go from a man like Peter who couldn't do anything, who denied, who ran away, who always put his foot in it, and suddenly you become a mighty man of God that preaches at Pentecost, which we're going to read about in just a moment. What the Lord can do in your life is extraordinary. So he hasn't just touched you to keep you the same. He's touched you to transform you and to send you. Number one, if you're taking notes, the Holy Spirit doesn't just fill you. He sends you. See, the point of our faith is not to stay hidden. The point of our faith is not just to have a good time with God, just me and him. We love God. The point of our faith is to go. The point of our faith is to be sent. It's to know that I've been sent with a purpose and a plan. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1, we'll read these verses just one more time. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Some of these words are really important. One place, unity together. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed like tongues of fire. So imagine this moment. You're in this house. You've been waiting for 10 days. You're in the upper room. Suddenly a wind comes. Suddenly the presence of God comes. Suddenly fire comes, and it begins to rest on people's heads. You're like, this is extraordinary. Could we experience this? I think, church, we're experiencing moments but closer to this than you realize. And sometimes you can be here and you can miss it. And I'm going to encourage you, don't miss it. If you're in the room, don't miss it. Don't miss it. There are certain times where you're like, let's think of it like this. You know those times where you're in the cinema and you're dying for the toilet, but you can't miss the next bit that's going to happen on the screen? Come on, church. This is what it's got to be sometimes in the Christian walk. It's like you're dying. Come on, I want to go somewhere else, but I can't because I don't want to miss what God's going to do. I don't want to miss what he's going to do. This is the expectation levels of the believers. If it's not like that for you, then it's like, they won't even miss me this Sunday. This Sunday, it's not going to be that hot. He wasn't that great last week. I'll give him a miss for a few weeks. He'd get better. You know what I'm trying to say, church? Come on. If that's the way, then we'll already know what's going to happen before we get there. There'll be no expectation. There'll be no anticipation. Here's what I realize, and here's what you've probably figured out along your life, is if you turn up to any environment with any sort of passion, excitement, expectation, even if it's not spiritual, something good will happen. Something good will happen. If you turn up like, you might as well not bother. Come on. Come on, church. There is a responsibility that we have. We got to carry the presence of God. Now, here's what happens. Acts chapter 2:14. Look at the effects now of the Holy Spirit being poured out to show us that there should be a movement afterwards. Then Peter stood up with the 11 disciples, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. He suddenly becomes a preacher. He goes from being a denier, a person that gets in trouble, a person that's putting his foot in, a person that forgot God, give up on Jesus. At the worst time ever, he says, I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus. 3 times. And now suddenly at Pentecost, he's the man standing up and he's ready to declare the goodness of God. Verse 41, look at the after effects. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to the number that day. Wow. Church, now, again, let's just pause for a minute. If you were running the church and you were raising some people up, you would say to yourself, okay, I think today's going to be a big day. I heard there's a few thousand coming. Let's get our best man. Let's get our best woman. Let's get whoever we have, the most qualified. You don't pick Peter. You just don't pick him. Because Peter sometimes, he's a bit of a loose cannon. You're not sure what's going to happen next. You're like, he cuts ears off. He says things when he shouldn't. He doesn't say the right things when he should. Like, this is probably not the right guy. Let's get somebody more sincere, more loyal. Let's get John. John's the guy. Let's get John. He loved Jesus. He's as close to Jesus. Or if not him, we'll get Matthew. He's a great guy as well. But no, they pick Peter. And suddenly thousands come to faith. Church, what the Lord will do with your life, hardly anybody else can see it. In fact, maybe no one can see it. Maybe you can't even see it yourself. And that's why I have to speak with faith into your life today. Because maybe you can't see it. Maybe you don't feel it. You don't see it. And you'd even argue against me and say, it'll definitely not be me. It'll be somebody else. I want to say to you, today we're going to expose your heart to show that the Lord can do it with anyone. Three quick things from God when you have an encounter with him. A real encounter with God always has a direction. Always. When you go into the presence of God and you spend time with the Lord and you get a real encounter with God and you experience him, it always gives you direction. Or another way to say it is it always gives you purpose. You come out full of dreams, full of ideas, full of vision. It's why we so need these moments. In fact, the goal and the desire of the Lord is that you would walk in these moments every day and you would have this kind of passion. You'd have this kind of desire. Number two, the fire did not come to warm them up. Now, come on, let's just for a minute. You know, sometimes gets those cold nights and it's summer, and then some people in your house might say, we should put the heat on. You're like, no, let's not put the heat on. Put a jumper on. You see, there are times in life where you need to get warmed up. But can I tell you that God did not send the fire in the upper room to warm them up? He sent the fire to push them out, to push them out of the room. He said, guys, this is not the goal. Coming to church every Sunday is not the be all and end all. In fact, for some of us, I think Sundays are even hard. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're struggling against Sundays. I love what Tyler said, you know, don't miss out on Wednesday night. But so many people do. And I'm not being critical. I'm just being real. It's because there are other things that can get in the way. I get it. Other things can get in the way. We get used to other things. We're busy. All those things are real. But there's something about when we get hungry for the things of God and we start to encounter him, it starts to transform every part of us and we start to reprioritize everything. We start to reorganize everything. And the fire of God does not come on the people to make them feel better Christians. The fire of God does not come on the people to help them to read or pray better. The fire of God comes on the people that day, church, to push them out of the room. You know what I'm saying? It's like we all know how to get home. I've seen it. You all know how to get home. Hopefully, I didn't even see you all the way home, but I saw you getting out of the room. But what we're not sure of is if you're going to become the bold lions that you are in here, out there. You know, like the jumping, I'd love a few more jumpers, but that's okay. You know, some jumping, dancing, shouting, lifting the hands. But what is it like when we get out there? Because the fire of God came to warm these guys up, to fire these guys up, so that they would get out of that room and never be the same again. And I want to suggest to you today, church, that the fire of God wants to touch your life so you can get out of this room and never be the same again. Come on, anybody want that? Anybody need that? Come on, maybe you don't even realize it, but that is what we need. I need something greater than me. Otherwise, I'm going to leave this room the same way as it came in. Maybe a little bit better, but by Monday, I become the same old boss, the same old employee, the same old this, same old that, and it just goes right in circles. And I'm telling you, you're made for more. And if you don't do that, then you're going to have to find it somewhere else. And before you know it, the only thing that lights up your life is that new series is coming out. That movie that I've waited for 2 years is coming. You know, we got a holiday booked and it's 2 years away, but it's all right, it's coming. You know what I'm trying to say? And I'm not against any of those things, but we were made for so much more. Made for so much more. Come on, we're going to get there. And then the third thing is, your moment last week, whether you had one or not, was not the destination. It was a doorway. Okay, quick thought. Anybody, this could maybe be a boy only thing, but I'm not going to discriminate, so girls, you're welcome. Anybody really like rockets and stuff? Like, you just like rockets, you know, the idea of rockets, like rockets and going to space. Maybe it's just me. Just call me weird. That's okay. But the idea of rockets, space, Unbelievable. Now, you know what would be class? If Elon just give me a text or a call and says, hey, need you to come out and see me. I'm like, let's go. Send the private jet. We're going out to Texas. And we're going out to see another launch for SpaceX. And you say to yourself, this is unbelievable. And Elon, oh, what a guy, unbelievable. And so, but could you imagine if we got there and we go to the launch pad and he says, okay, not too close, don't want you to die. And so we go to the launch pad. The rocket's fueled. The countdown's on. We get to zero and nothing happens. Fueled, ready to go, we kind of dine, nothing happens. Church, we don't go to a launch pad to look at a launch pad. We go to a launch pad to see a rocket take off. If a rocket does not take off, we're going, failure, right? Get the next one out. Church, there's a lot of us sitting here on the launch pad and we need to take off, amen? Come on, church, there's a lot of us sitting here in the launch pad and you're 10 times better than Elon's rocket. Come on, you're children of God and you need to take off. Something needs to take off in you. Otherwise, you're going to be the same old. And you're not going to see people's lives affected and changed through you. But that's the plan of God in your life. Or maybe, okay, that doesn't float your boat. I get it. What about a cup of tea? Who doesn't like a cup of tea? I don't really like a cup of tea, but it's all right. So let me tell you a story. Nikki loves my cups of tea. Isn't that good news? She loves my cups of tea. And I make the best cup of tea on the planet for her. Now, here's what happens. I know exactly the way she likes it. But could you imagine if Nikki asked me for a cup of tea, and then I went and I boiled the kettle, and then after a few minutes, she came to me and she says, any chance of a cup of tea? Now, that has happened before. And I said, oh, yeah, sorry, I'm going for it. But this one time, I'm actually there, and I'm locked in. I'm making this cup of tea. And so I boiled the kettle, and when she comes to me, I'm going, all I can talk about is this kettle. The best kettle I've ever seen. Just the best. It just boils so well. It never moves. It makes that great noise. It's the perfect kettle. She go, what? I want a cup of tea. I'm not interested in the kettle. You know what I'm saying? I'm not interested in how the kettle looks. I just need that thing to boil. I need that thing to bubble over. And I think church is the same for us. We got to stop admiring ourselves. We got to stop posting on Facebook and Instagram and stuff. I want to get out there and transform the world. Amen. Come on. Church, you were not transformed to look beautiful on Instagram. Be beautiful if you want. Come on. I'm not against it. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. Our lives are supposed to turn the gates of hell upside down. Our lives are supposed to get the enemy quick out of his boots. You know what I'm trying to say? Like when we walk into the room, the early disciples, you couldn't bring them anywhere. They just couldn't stop talking about the goodness of God. You couldn't bring them anywhere. You brought them to your family home. They just talk about Jesus. You brought them to Mac and Ernie's. They talk about Jesus. You brought them to say, they talk about, they just wouldn't stop talking. Church, you were made for so much more. It's just the effects of this life that reduces you down to thinking tiny, tiny, tiny. God's got so much more for you. Come on, we got to keep moving, otherwise we're going to get nowhere. Judges chapter 6. Can we go to this? This is Gideon. Maybe you've heard of the story of Gideon before. Maybe you're not quite sure of the context. We're going to read the verses, and then we're going to think about this. Gideon from Judges chapter 6, verse 11, says, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was an Ophrah, which his son Gideon, Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Okay, picture the scene now. You've got Gideon. He's in the wine press. But before all of that, I got to set the scene. So you've got the Israelite people and they are 7 years oppressed. So can we just, let's get the context here just for a moment. So Gideon is talking about him. He comes to him and says, you're going to be a mighty man of valor. And maybe you've heard the story before then. Gideon comes back and says, I'm the least of the least. You know, our family's the least of the least. You know, there's no way we can do it. I'm no good, et cetera, et cetera. He's defeated. He's insecure. He's got no confidence. You're thinking, how do you get like that? Can we just rewind just a little bit of time back and give you some context? 7 years. The Midianites have been coming to the Israelite people for 7 years. Year after year after year after year. It'd be like somebody coming to your house today and just stealing everything from your home. And then you go and you try to get some help. But before you get some help, or even as you get some help, no one can help. And then by the end of the week, they come back and they steal more stuff. And they take more stuff. And then you work hard and you get a bit of stuff back. And then they come and they steal that again. And it feels like, what's going on? Why can nobody help us? Why can nobody help us? This is what the Midianites were like to the Israelites. They came for month after month, year after year, 7 years, church, 7 years. If you're being robbed and taken from and stolen from and everything you have just gets taken, it beats you down. Maybe you're here today and you've been in the wars for 7 years. Maybe you're going through the toughest season of your life and it's not been for months, it's been for years. And you're going, every time I try to get back to zero, something more happens. It's like I get one bad thing and then another bad thing and then another bad thing. And you've even started to talk like that. You're like, hey, I just expect it now. I just expect when I get a bad day, there's going to be five more. I just know what will come next. And it starts to define us. And this is what happened to Midianites, or happened to Israelites, because those Midianites, they couldn't stop them. And you know what they resorted to? Remember, the Israelites are the men and women of God. They're the chosen ones. It said they began to dig holes in the ground and hide in caves. They began to leave their homes on the surface and they began to live underground. You got to get the context of this church. Otherwise, you'll be like, ah, poor old Gideon. He was just a bit shy. He was a bit nervous. No, he's a beaten and he's part of a beaten generation. They're hopeless. There's no good reports. It feels monotonous. It feels endless. It's like every time they have a harvest, stolen. Every time they work hard, taken. It's just there's no end to the defeat. Defeat, defeat, defeat. This is the life of Gideon. And then the Lord comes to him and he speaks to the angel. He says, Gideon, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Wow. Church, you ever had a word from God at the worst time ever, but you really needed it, but you couldn't receive it? This is Gideon. He really, really, really needed a word from God. But God, it seemed, had been so quiet for so long and the enemy had been so loud for so long that when the Lord came to him and said, Gideon, you're going to be my mighty warrior, he hung his head. Church, I'm coming to you with the same word to tell you, you're going to change nations, and I'm not seeing anybody jump onto the seat to go, unbelievable, let's go. Come on, I'm not seeing a transition. Why? Because maybe you're in the same boat. Maybe you're in the same boat. Maybe you've been beat up and pressed down and crushed on every side by life, by family, by generations, by everything you could imagine. And where you find yourself is, I'm pretty much the same as Gideon. I just didn't know it. I just didn't know it. Now, let me add a little bit more context, because can we go farmer mode just for a moment? It says that he was threshing wheat in a wine press. You don't thresh wheat in a wine press. Let me tell you where you do that. You do it on the mountaintop where there's wind and there's air and it does half the work for you and it separates the wheat and it gets rid of the chaff and suddenly you have the right stuff left. This is the way it works. But why is Gideon doing an outside job in an inside space? Come on, there's so much more in this story than you know, church. We could skip bad, but we're not going to. And so Gideon is doing an outside job in an inside space. Makes no sense. It'd be like you trying to farm in your front living room. What are you doing? This isn't idiotic. This isn't because he doesn't know better. This is fear. This is fear. Because every time that we've done it on the outside, the Midianites would come and take it. Do you know how demoralizing that is? When you've worked hard and you've got all you need for your family for the year and then the enemy comes and steals it all away. Do you know how demoralizing it is that you've worked for a company for, let's say, 10 plus years and in a moment you're just sacked, you're gone? You're just gone. Do you know how demoralizing it is when you've worked hard in a marriage and then suddenly it's over? Or you've worked hard at life and suddenly a curveball comes and you get news you were never expecting and everybody tells you around there is no hope? Do you know how demoralizing it is? Do you know how defeating that is? This is Gideon. And so an outside job that a farmer does on a hilltop, remember Jesus said, no one takes a light and hides it under a bushel. A city should be on a hill for all the nations to see. This is the same language, church. You are men and women of God. You are not supposed to be hiding in a wine cellar. You're supposed to be on the mountaintops. This is the life of Gideon, but he found himself hiding when he should be in a public place. Church, I want to encourage you today. You were made for the public places, but you're not going to know what the public places, and you're not going to be able to survive in the public places without the secret place with the Lord. Now, Gideon didn't go to that secret place to be with the Lord. He went to the secret place because he did not want to be seen. Because of the brokenness of life. But here's the goodness of God. Let's go a little bit further. So he's doing an outside job on the inside. But Gideon could have been anywhere, couldn't he? He could have been in a cellar. He could have been in an underground room. He could have been in a cave. But he found himself in a wine press. Now, what do you do in a wine press? Let's go to a winemaking class just for a moment, because we have to let you understand all of this. So what you bring into the wine press is you bring in grapes. And grapes speak of abundance. When the children of Israel, when they sent out the 10 spies and they went into the land and they came back, it said the 2 came back and they came back with grapes the size of, I don't know what. They were like watermelons. They were so big. They had to carry it on the bar with 2 guys because they were like, we never seen fruit like it. And God in his wisdom, in the midst of Gideon's brokenness, leads him into a wine press. And in a wine press, he's trying to do the wrong thing, but God's going to about to do the right thing in Gideon, and his life is never going to be the same. So let me just give you a quick demo. In the wine press, you bring in the grapes. Have you seen it on TV? And then you got to take your socks and shoes off, you know, and then you got to walk on the grapes. You've never seen that? People pay big money to go to Italy to do this. I'll just give it to you for free. And so they take off their socks and shoes, and then they got to walk on those grapes, and this is what they do. They crush the grapes. Now, if you don't understand this part, what happens next is you got a room. Let's say this is the room. This is the wine press. Then there's a little slits in the floor that only juice can go through. And so when they stamp on the grapes, the juice slips through the slits and underneath is connected in a vat. And suddenly now this is what's going to become your wine. This is what's going to become your juice. Wow. So let's think about this now. God has brought Gideon into a wine press. Gideon came there in fear, but God's about to do something in love that will transform Gideon forever. Church, come on, go with me now. So this hiding place is going to become the place that transforms them. And so he comes in, and God says, but you don't understand, Gideon. You've been crushed by the enemy, but today I'm going to crush you. And what's going to come out is all that fear, worry, and doubt. Come on, church. You might have been hiding in the secret place, hiding away from the enemy, but in that secret place, God is going to find you and he's going to crush you. Now, it's not a bad crushing. It's a good crushing. And what he did that day to Gideon was, Gideon, you don't understand it, but I am with you and you're my mighty man of valor. Come on, church. The Lord is speaking into your heart and you're in a wine press today. You didn't know it. You thought you came to church, but I actually set you up. You've come into a wine press. Amen. And what's going to come out is all that fear, worry, and doubt. And what's going to be replaced is with love, because perfect love casts out all fear. Wow. Wow. And Gideon in his fear and in his worry and in his doubt, what happened? God led him right into a wine press. It was a total setup of his goodness. Church, I'm telling you this, the enemy might have crushed you on every side. The enemy might be pushing you down on every side. You might be going, I don't think I can get out of this one. I think I've done all my nine lives. I don't think there's a way out. I'm telling you now, in the hidden places, God does his best work. With the people that cannot be restored, God does his best work. With the ones that cannot be turned around, God does his best work. And what were the words that he said? I am with you. And you're my mighty man of valor. Not only am I with you, but you're going to become a warrior. What? Gideon's going to become the very solution to the problem. They could not beat the Midianites. Gideon's going to do it with God's help. Church, are you getting what I'm saying? It's like the excuses that you've got in front of you, God's going to transform you to nail all of those excuses and more, and the enemy and everything else. And the only person that's going to the hidden place is the enemy himself. Amen. Can I get an amen, church? God is going to do such a deep work in you that you will never be the same again. Okay, let me give you three things about Gideon just for a moment. Fear becomes normal. If fear has become normal to you, in other words, it sometimes operates like this. Oh, it's never going to work. It's like, I'm just fearing for the worst. Yeah, I've just taught myself not to expect too much. You know, these kind of words, this kind of language, church. I just realized that, probably the best days are behind me. You know, like, I don't think it's going to get any better. When you get used to living in fear, church, that's the way you talk. The men and women of God start to go, I think something could happen. I think something could happen. I just know I can't do it, but I've seen what God can do. Hey, if he can defeat the grave, he can defeat this issue in my life. There's nothing that the Lord can't do. Faith starts to change your language. Number two, scarcity became his mindset. See, for Gideon, they didn't build tall buildings. They dug holes in the ground to live in. Church, if you're going home today to dig a hole in your ground to live in there rather than live in your house, I'm praying for you right now. Amen? But this is what fear does. This is what fear does. It talks us out of the benefits. It talks us out of life. It gets us stuck in one room when we should be in all rooms. It gets us living below the ground instead of above the ground. And it gets us thinking that our best days are behind us instead of realizing that God's always doing a new thing in you. Amen? Come on, church. He's got far more in front of you than you can imagine. And Gideon had to get through a generational struggle, because this was year after year after year. He wasn't just the odd man out. He was every other man in the room. He was every other man in the family. They all experienced this. But I'm telling you now, God can come to one of us and he can change everything through one man or one woman. And in case, girls, you're worried if you're being left out, you look at that mighty man of valor. It's the same context that the Lord uses in Proverbs 31 for a godly woman. Come on, the Lord is wanting to raise up men and women that will suddenly not be about themselves, that will suddenly be free from themselves and will start to believe with a faith that cannot be moved that I am here for this moment and for this time. And that God is going to work wonders through my life. And it might be through business. It might be through relationships. It might be through sport. It might be through church. It can be any ministry you like. But God will raise you up to transform nations every way he pleases. See, God has declared a new identity over Gideon. Gideon, you're not who you used to be. You're not who you used to be. I see who you're becoming. And that's what God says over each and every one of our lives. But when you've been battered and bruised for so long, you go, nah, God, you got the wrong, you phoned the wrong person, wrong number. You know, when somebody phones you, you're like, wrong number. It's not me. It's not me. Don't know that name. Don't know mighty man of valor. Don't know mighty woman of valor. Don't know that. You're going to change the nation. Don't know that. You must have the wrong number. No, he hasn't got the wrong number. He knows exactly who he's ringing. It's just you need to get an upgrade. Amen. Come on. He's doing something in you. Faith is starting to work, church. Come on. The kettle just flicks and the water boils over. Let me do a few more and then we're going to be done. Point number three, boldness is the fingerprint. This is so important. It says this in Acts chapter 4:13. Let me go New Testament again. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. So you've got Acts chapter 2. We talked about Gideon. We've talked about Peter and John. Peter stands before thousands get saved. Unbelievable transformation. What changed in Peter? The only thing that changed in Peter was a baptism in the Holy Spirit. The only thing that changed in Peter was a flood of the Holy Spirit, was a filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that changed. It was too quick between the day his friend and else to have happened. He didn't study loads. Studying's good. He didn't pray loads. Praying's good. He didn't read loads. Reading's good. He didn't worship loads. Worshiping's good. He got touched by the Holy Spirit. His life was never the same again. And then we get to Peter and John in Acts chapter 4. It says this. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men. Let's think for a second. They very quickly, you ever been around some people and you quickly realize that, you know, they probably haven't been around, you know, the other week I got to see the king and the queen. It was quite funny. But, you know, I've not been around those guys. So they talk different than me. You know what I'm trying to say? Oh, one was this and one was, you know, I didn't even get to talk to them, but I know how they go. You know what I'm saying? We're probably saying I and this and that, but they have a different language and they turn around these guys and they say to Peter and John, we have perceived. What a great word that is. That they are uneducated, untrained men. Wow. Come on, these guys are falling short. But they marveled. They absolutely marveled. They were astonished. They were blown away. They couldn't get their heads around it. They were perplexed. You put in whatever words you like. They were in awe. They were just this. They just couldn't get their heads around it. They marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Wow. Church, what does that look like? What does that look like? You know, when you go, he's been with Jesus. Can I tell you what it looks like? It looks like life. It looks like boldness. It looks like a different kind of talk. It's when everybody else is saying nothing or saying one way, that person steps up and says, but I think we could pray about it. But I've seen the Lord move before. But I believe. But this, but that. It's just, you come with a different direction. You come with a different focus. You come with a different voice, church. And I want to say to us today that when the Holy Spirit touches your life, you will never be the same again. You're not going to talk the same. Trust me, you're not going to act the same. The same fear that dominated is gone. It's not going to work anymore. It's not going to be the case anymore. I know what he has done for me. I have seen what he has done for others. I'm telling you this, church, he wants to do the same for you. The same for you. You might be hiding in the wine press. It's time to go. You might be still stuck in the upper room saying, Lord, I want more. But he's told you it's time to get out of the room. Stop hanging in the room. It's time to get out. He's pushing you out. Or you might be thinking, I can't do any of that. He wants to do incredible things. The boldness, this is what the boldness of God wants to do in your life. Boldness is not a personality type. If you think it's a personality type, you've missed the mark. But you could have all the personality you like. If you haven't got the power of God, you got nothing. You're just a wisecrack or a nice person. But when you have the presence of God and the power of God, you leave a mark. You leave a mark on people's lives. When you hang around someone that's got the presence of God in their life, they may have left the room, but you still have the after effects. It works the same way the other side. You know, when you get someone comes into the room and they're like, they have a different spirit, a different attitude, you feel the after effects. You're like, oof, kind of glad they were gone. You know, they're going through something heavy. You feel the after effects. Church, I want to say the same to you. There's a presence, there's an aroma, there's something that God, when He's on your life, when you walk into the room and you leave it, it changes the atmosphere. Something changes when the men and women of God walk into the room. Boldness is not your temperature, it's our temperament, it's the overflow of the Holy Spirit. It's the overflow. You know, again, some people think, well, when I get the Holy Spirit, I'll just be very calm. Just be very calm. No, it's nothing to do with that. That you might get a little bit of a temperament change, but it's about an overflow. 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 Church, we need this. We need this. If you don't get the Holy Spirit, if you don't understand, if you don't receive the Holy Spirit, then you have to do everything in your own strength. You ever had this dilemma? I used to have this one all the time. Someone would ask me to do something, but I couldn't do it fast. I try to describe it in a good way, but I couldn't do it fast. So if you asked me to do something, I would say, okay, but can you give me a bit of time? It's almost like, I tell you what it was like. I had a lot of preparation to do. I had a lot of rehearsing to do. And then when I did all of that, then I could do it. So the idea of, could you share your testimony this morning? No chance. Could I do it in a month? Yeah, probably. Because then I go and prepare a lot. Now, I'm not against preparation. In fact, I think it's a big failure if you don't prepare. But if you have to prepare and it's all preparation and there's no power of God, then you've missed it. You've missed it. Because where you can get to, and let me just encourage you, where you can get to in the Spirit is you can stop being led by this and you can be led by the Spirit. And suddenly when you come into environments you've never been before, you go, okay, I'm not quite ready, but okay, Lord. And then He begins to overflow through your life. He begins to overflow. So let me just say it. Mark was here the other week. He's a good friend from Mona, and hopefully he's watching. If not, I'll send it to him later. But he came, and he was freaking out. He's like, oh, I haven't had enough time to prepare. I got his heart. But I helped him out. I says, through Josh, I says, send him a message. Just say, hey, tell you what to do, Mark. Share your testimony, and then just share a couple of thoughts. You see, when that guy got lit up, you couldn't shut him up. You just couldn't. There is more in him than he could know. There is more in you than you know. This wants to dominate. I'm telling you, this wants to, because we live in this whole world of, no, let the Spirit of God lead your life. Trust what the Lord can do. And don't be afraid to be a fool. I was going to say you're a fool anyway, but no. But don't be afraid of that, because that's the biggest fear. But to be a fool for Christ is fine. It's fine. Come on, you're not perfect, so it means you probably are more of a fool than you realize. It's a good thing. You don't need to take yourself so serious. I've seen it many times. Oh, I need more time to prepare. I need more time to get ready. People say that all the time. I used to fall in that trap. Eventually, what I realized was I'm either going to live that lie out, or I'm going to get to a place where it doesn't matter when you call me, what time, within reason. 3 o'clock in the morning is not good. But within reason, I'm going to be ready to go. I tell you a real fun one just from a few months ago. We were over in Asia, and we were going to our first service. It was last year in Jordan. Some of the guys were there. And on the way, they tell me, oh, have you got slides done? I was like, slides? What do you mean slides? That must mean I must be preaching. So in 15-minute journey, you're like, you got to prepare a message and do slides. Praise the Lord for some AI that helped me out with slides. You know, it's like, but you can do far more than you can realize. But in that moment, if you're not careful, pressure and life and all of you is going to take over, and you're going to talk yourself out of the situation. But when the Holy Spirit touches your life, you can do far more than you can imagine or think, church. Far more. So if you're Gideon today, you need the Lord to speak into your life. If you're Peter today, you need the Lord to restore you. Come on, if you're you today, you still need the Holy Spirit to come and transform your life. And He's going to take you from I can't till okay, I'll trust the Lord. And suddenly the overflow is where you live, and you can do far more than you can imagine or think. Come on, we're going to stand together. I want to see the doors blow off, church. We're going to see the roof blow off soon. We're not going to blow it off. We'll probably lift it off because we want to keep health and safety right. But, you know, but I want the doors to blow off us, because the doors that you use to keep people out is what also is keeping the Lord out at times. The doors that you've got on your heart, the doors that you've got on your life is also keeping people out. And you've got to make a difference in people's lives. This is why you're here. This is why you're here. And I want to say that sometimes the doors you put in place because you don't want to be exposed, you don't want somebody to see that wee thing or that thing, bring it to God and get that wee thing dealt with. And then you can rip the door off because you got nothing to hide. Can I encourage you? God wants you to come before Him and He wants you to be all there. Do you remember in the garden? They didn't wear clothes. They had no need of them. There was no barriers between them and God. Now, I'm not advocating that for today. Please, Lord, I'm happy with what you're wearing. I love you. Love you. But the doors of your heart, the doors that's covering you up at times, the doors that are holding you back, the ideas that are holding you back, the lies that are holding you back. Come on, we got to put these things to bed and to death. Amen. In the wine press, grapes get crushed. And what comes out is what? The wine. I want to pray today that you would get crushed. And what would come out is all that the Lord wants to come out. And what will be left is something beautiful and something just so good for His kingdom. Can we pray together, church? Come on, we're going to pray. Doors of faith, they're going to come off. Doors of fear, sorry. Doors of not enough. Doors of I could never. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come. Lord, I pray for a resurrection life to begin to surge through our veins. I know we've got so many different things going on, but so did Gideon. So did Job. So did Jesus. But the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that is here today. And He wants to radically transform you. And I'm telling you, all that stupid junk He wants to take away from your life, all that stuff that disqualifies you, He wants to turn it around and He wants to multiply and increase you. And He wants to take you and He wants you to go before nations and before leaders. And they may marvel and they may say, but you don't seem educated. You don't seem like you've got the right speech. You don't seem like you've got the right stuff. But it won't matter because they will recognize something greater. He or she has been with Jesus. Wow. Lord, I pray today for open hearts. I pray for vessels that will be filled. I pray for lives that will be turned around. Church, I pray for faith that would rise and we start to believe like never before. Start to believe. Jesus, there is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you. Let me read over your heart what the Lord said to Gideon just one more time. He said, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Don't underestimate that, church. The Lord is with you in the battles, in the fear times, in the nervous times, in the I can't do this time, in the I'll never make it here. The Lord is with you. And then look what He declares. My mighty man of valor, my mighty woman of valor, my mighty warrior, my mighty warrior, my mighty warrior. Come on, here's my beloved son in whom I'm so pleased. Here's my beloved daughter in whom I'm so pleased. The Bible just repeats things and repeats things and repeats things, not because God doesn't know what He's talking about, because He wants us to get it. You're my beloved daughter. You're my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. Go change the world. Go to the ends of the earth. Go make the difference. Go, go. Jesus, there is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you. Last little story. You just continue to rest in the Lord's presence. Aria said to me this week, we're going to the monkey bars. I said, okay. She'd never done it before. She never quite made it. This time I decided to video to see what's going to happen while I'm trying to reach out to catch her just in case she decides to fall. And she started off and she got to the end of those monkey bars and I said, hey, how did you do it? She said, I wasn't afraid anymore. I was like, wow, that is so good. How did she make it? I wasn't afraid anymore. It wasn't about strength. It wasn't about ability. It was about fear. That was the only thing that was holding a 7-year-old back. What if you're 27? What if you're 37? What if you're 67? I better not go no more. Could it be fear that's still holding you back? It was not muscle. It was not ability. It was not skill. It was not education. It was just fear that held her back. And then she said, I want to do it again. Because you know when you conquer your fears, you want to do it again. And then I said to her, after she's done it the second time, I said, what are you thinking now? She says, I believed in myself. I was like, wow. Church, if you could start to believe in yourself, oh my goodness. I know what the world, we're going to get some super religious people. It's going to go, you shouldn't believe in yourself, only believe in God. Come on, catch a grip. Catch a grip, church. You got to believe in yourself. If you don't know who you are, if you don't believe what the Lord has called you to be, if you don't believe that you're a prince in the kingdom of God, you're going to achieve nothing. If you don't believe that you're a son or daughter of the living God, if you don't believe that you're a mighty man of valor, if you don't believe that you're a mighty woman of valor, you are not going to go to the battlefield. David believed that he could defeat Goliath. He did not just believe in God, he believed in himself because he knew what God had done through him before, through the lion and the bear, that he could do it again. Amen? Come on, church, we have to start believing. We have to start believing in what the Lord has done in us, because it's through faith we're going to move every single mountain. Come on, God is good. So Lord, I pray today, no fear and to believe in ourselves, because what the Lord has done in me and in you in that secret place, he will then do in the public place. Come on, what the Lord has done through David, the Lord will do through you. What the Lord has done through Esther, the Lord will do through you. What the Lord did through his son, he will do through you. What the Lord did through the early disciples, he will do through you. You got to believe it. You're a mighty man and a mighty woman of valor. The Lord is with you. Holy Spirit, speak to our bones today. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts today. Holy Spirit, help us to walk with you today. And Holy Spirit, hit us like a flood that we may not even stand, in Jesus' mighty name. Help us to get past the brain today. Help us to get past the thinking. Help us to get past the stubbornness. Help us to get past the fear and just receive what only you can give. Life and more life and more life and more life. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.